Spiritual Safety, Elder Charles A. Callis. Charles A. Callis, Conference Report, April 1946, pages 146-149. I am deeply conscious that without God's help I can do nothing. A frequent recurrence to fundamental principles will increase the strength of the church. When I speak about a recurrence to fundamental principles increasing the strength of the church, I think this is applicable also to the national government and the state governments. If we would return to the fundamental principles of the Constitution of the United States and observe them more closely, it would from many a blunder free us, and foolish notion, strength of church in personal testimonies. The secret of the strength of this great church is the personal testimony that the members enjoyed the testimony of the Holy Ghost. Our spiritual safety is secured by staying on the main stream, that stream of living truth that flows by the throne of God. It is sad to see men spiritually wrecked by being washed ashore by immaterial cross currents and spend all the voyage of their life bound in shallows and in miseries. If we keep on the main stream, we are going to finish our mission on earth in a manner pleasing to the Lord, Shakespeare said. But 'tis strange, and oftentimes, to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths, win us with honest trifles, to betray us in deepest consequence. Why should men be so unstable that they will run after every will-o'-the-wisp, tempted by plausible, deceptive theories? The devil himself is plausible. He can assume a pleasing shape, he can fashion himself into resembling an angel of light, and he can cite scripture to suit his purpose. Support a first presidency. Every truth essential for the salvation of the people of God is deeply embedded and enshrined in the glorious plan of salvation. The instruments of darkness approach us by the way of flattery. They will say, "You are all right, you are a pretty good man, and the gospel is true." Then they will say, "But the first presidency of the church are wrong." Against such appeals let us guard ourselves lest we be betrayed in deepest consequence. I testify to you in humility and in the inner sureness given by the Holy Ghost, that from the days of Adam there has never been a first presidency with more power and authority to act in the name of God, for the salvation of men than the present first presidency, whom we love and sustain. I love President George Albert Smith, a friend of man. You cannot associate with him without being impressed with a Christ-like feeling. I love President J. Reuben Clark, J.R., a wise counselor, a statesman, and a man devoted to the work of God. I love President David O. McKay, a Christian gentleman, made by his religion, filled with the spirit of godliness and desirous of helping the children of God. I repeat, from the days of Adam no first presidency of the church has ever exercised more authority, and the right to bless the children of men, than the presidency that are seated on this stand. Preparations for second coming of the Son of God. Brethren and sisters, why do we want missionaries? They are sent out for a purpose. It is for the purpose of preparing the way for the second coming of the Son of God. I recall the history of that great apostolic delegation that went to Great Britain, Brigham Young, Heber C. Kimball, Willard Richards, George A. Smith, and others. They went to that foreign country without person, without script. A man giving them a lift in his wagon was accosted by a passerby who said, as he looked at the ghostly appearance of these missionaries, who were sick, who were leaving their families in sickness and in poverty, "Mister, what graveyard have you been robbing?" Let us pause here a moment for reflection. Brigham Young, Heber C. Kimball, Willard Richards, George A. Smith were no weaklings. They were men among men. Do you for a moment think that these stalwart men, these men of God, would have undertaken that long and perilous journey unless they knew deep down in their hearts, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that this church was founded by the Lord? We are filled with hope and faith. We are looking and praying for the glorious second coming of the Son of God. When the apostles looked steadfastly toward heaven as Jesus ascended to heaven, two men in white apparel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye raising up into heaven this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven? Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He will rule the world with truth and grace and make the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love." This promise of a visible, certain return of the Messiah made the apostles happy, and they rejoiced in the knowledge of the second coming, just as we rejoice today. Tennyson caught a flash of the vision of Christ's reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, from the rivers unto the ends of the earth, when he said, "For I dipped into the future, far as human eye could see, saw the vision of the world, and all the wonders that would be, till the war drum throbbed no longer and the battle flags were furled in the parliament of man, the federation of the world. There the common sense of most shall hold a fretful world in awe, and the kindly earth shall slumber, lapped in universal law, Jesus Christ to inaugurate millennium. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He is going to inaugurate the millennium, war will cease, enmity shall disappear, and the King of Kings shall reign as only Christ can reign, in the midst of and over a world of peace. Barbaric war shall end forever. What heavenly joy in the contemplation and in the future enjoyment of this blessed condition. Oh, what hope there is in this majestic event. You mothers who mourn the loss of your brave boys who went to save the world for freedom will be compensated in the resurrection. Even now, though you know your sons have made the supreme sacrifice, you still are listening for the sound of returning feet. It will be a pity if this United Nations organization shall fail to harvest the fruits of this victory which was won by the shedding of rivers of blood. May the Lord grant them wisdom. May they listen to peace, and the call of peace. May they have the golden rule always before their eyes, and in their hearts the fear of the Lord, who shall come to the earth as the Prince of Peace. The Apostle Paul said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The last prayer in the Bible reads as follows: "Behold, I come quickly," and John prays, as we today pray, "Even so come quickly, come and stop this carnage and misery." God grant that this gospel may be preached to the great Russian people and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. Oh, Father, send Jesus Christ quickly that the millennial reign, the golden rays of which are already brightening the hills of coming time, shall begin, that we may rest and reign with Christ on earth 1,000 years. I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.